Hello, Columbus and the Valley, my friends down in Eufaula, my folks over near Tallahassee, and everybody here in the Tri-City area, my friends over in Fort Bend and my soldiers over there, thank you for your service and thank you for all that you do for us here, and thank you for your sacrifices. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation, and today is April the 22nd, 2018, and I tell you, I'm very excited about today's conversation, and I'm going to tell you why I'm so excited. I love it when people from our community, folks that we know every day, do big things and go on to make big accomplishments. Well, as you may be aware, just this past week, the school board approved the appointment of several new assistant principals here in Muskogee County, and I'm honored today to be joined by two of them, and I know both of them very well. Great gentlemen. One we have with us, Mr. Maurice McNeil, from right here in Columbus, Georgia. And we also have Mr. Pierre Coffey. Most of you may know him as Coach Coffey, former head football coach over at Spencer High School. So glad to have him here in the studio today. How are y'all doing, gentlemen?
We're doing awesome.
Doing pretty good, man. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem. Glad to have you here. My first question is very simple. How does it feel? How does it feel?
Well, I think for me, it's an awesome feeling because this is something, you know, that I've desired to embark on for a while, and so, you know, it feels really good to get the opportunity to fulfill this dream and go on to be an administrator.
Okay, now Pierre, you're not from Columbus, but you're from nearby. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Woodland, Georgia, right there in Talbot County.
What's the name of it again?
Woodland, Georgia.
Can I find that on a map?
It's going to be small, but you'll find it.
It's going to be a challenge, man.
But yeah.
I bet you the five folks over there in Woodland, Georgia, like, we on the map, I'm playing, we on the map.
Right. So I grew up there. I went to Central High School up in Talbot County, and from there I went to Tuskegee University. And after Tuskegee, I worked in healthcare for a year, and then I moved into education.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you went to Tuskegee. Did you pledge anything over there?
Yeah, I pledged Kappa. I didn't pledge at Tuskegee, but I pledged, you know.
Oh, your brother, Kappa Alpha Psi. You know, I'm not gonna hold that against you. You know that the Alphas were in Columbus. I think that's clear. But you know, I have some great Kappa friends. You know, my barber's a Kappa.
Right.
One of my good friends, Mario Davis, yeah. You know, who runs the YMCA's right here. He's a Kappa. Right. And my homie Chris Brown, you know, you may see him on his motorcycle right here in Columbus. Right. He's a Kappa. So y'all all right sometimes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Y'all are definitely okay sometimes. So you went to school for education.
Well, actually, I went to school. I was a science major, food and nutritional science.
Okay. And what drew you to education?
Oh, I come from a family full of educators. And so that's what drew me to education. I got it. I was in healthcare, and I was looking for something different. And, you know, I come from a family full of educators. And one of my aunties, she kind of persuaded me, you know, how to try teaching. And one thing about me, I've always been into sports. And once I got into education, coaching was almost like my calling.
Okay.
And so that, the two merged together well.
You know, people say that coaches find a way to build a special relationship with our youth.
Absolutely.
And working with them. So I assume you agree with that statement.
Absolutely. Because you spend a lot of time with the kids after hours. So with the kids, it doesn't necessarily feel as I'm in school.
Okay.
And so you're able to build those relationships, and it's not necessarily a teacher-student relationship. It's more a mentor-mentee relationship, or almost, depending on the circumstances, it may be father-son type relationship.
And you know, that's so important, especially, you know, we have a lot of our kids that are raised in single-parent households.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I was raised by a single mother.
Right.
You know,
and
I was able to go on to be the first in my family to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And made it all the way up to become a lawyer.
Right.
So I know that it's possible in single-parent households.
Right. Absolutely.
But, you know, what are some of the techniques that you've used to get to know these kids so that they're they'll work with you and open up?
I mean, you know, for us getting to know kids, it's all about building relationships. And the very first thing is get the kid to understand that you care about them genuinely. Mm-hmm. It's not because you play football. It's not because you go to my school, or it's not because I teach you science. It's because I genuinely care about your best interest. And I think that's the first thing, you know, just getting the kid to understand, or getting your students to understand that you care about them.
I got you. Yeah. Now, I know the Spencer Nation, that they're going to be pretty sad that you're leaving. And man, right when they're about to get the new school, bro.
Yeah, that was tough. That was an extremely tough decision for me. I think Coach McNeil, or Mr. McNeil at this point, he can contest this. I had a lot of phone calls with him and a lot of sleepless nights because I was very, you know, I was hung. You know, it was a very tough decision for me. But when I started thinking about longevity and moving up in my career, you know, I think this was probably the best opportunity for me.
Well, you know, Mr. McNeil, Madris and myself, we're good friends, and so he's mentioned the conversations between the two of you, and I just marvel each time I hear about the conversations, because, you know, black men is something that we don't have a great presence of in the area of education, not just here in Muskogee County, but throughout the entire state and throughout the entire nation. And so when I heard about, and when I would hear about the connection and friendship that you guys have created and how you were a support base for each other, you know, what I said to myself is, and this was before you guys got appointed, mm-hmm. what I said to myself is, they have figured it out. Mm-hmm. And to be moving up together, both of you transitioning mm-hmm. to the assistant principal level at the same time, mm-hmm. brother, wow.
Yeah. In my opinion, iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir.
You know, you and I tell the kids all the time, you try to surround yourself with people on the same mission and the same path as yourself. Mm-hmm. And of course, you better each other. And it's always good to have an accountability partner, you know, somebody that can, you know, somebody that you trust to tell you when you're wrong, tell you when you're right.
Right. Now, you're going to miss football, though.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, on Saturdays, I can watch Georgia. I'm a huge Georgia fan. I can go to Tuskegee to some of the games. On some Friday nights, I'm sure I catch up with some of the local games. But
you know, Auburn State beat Tuskegee last season.
Well, that might have been the first time in many moons.
You know, the series kind of close, too, now. Let's not act like y'all just blow us out of the water, now.
When you start counting up SIAC championships, I think it kind of swing over to Tuskegee.
Well, I think the two schools are somewhere at the very top together. You know, I got my Auburn State Rams out there listening, and I'm sure they about to fall off their couch right now. Hold on, Rams. Hold on. I got them, Rams. I got it in here. We holding it down. You know, and now we got the Wildcats that are mad because we don't have them in the conversation. But I'm sorry that in the studio today, we just happen to have a Tuskegee graduate and two Auburn State graduates.
That's right.
So that's what we're going to roll with. And that's a little hint into switching over to Madris real quick. Madris, you graduated from Auburn State University.
That's right.
And you played football there.
That's right.
And so, you know, to be able to come back home, because you're from Columbus, right?
Yes, sir.
Where did you go to school here?
Went to Shaw High School.
You went to Shaw High School. Okay. And then you went on to Auburn State University. And did you further your education somewhere else?
Well, I got my master's and bachelor's from Auburn State.
Okay.
And I got my specialist from Jacksonville State in Alabama.
Okay.
And I got an add-on in Columbus State University.
Woo! There's so many degrees in this room. We about to have to be kicked out because there ain't no space. You know, educated and black. I love it. So my dreams for you, you know, your path was a little different from Coach Coffey's. I mean, you know, Coach Coffey spent the time in the spotlight. He may want to deny it, but when you're a head coach of either Spencer, Carver, or Kendrick, you know, and Shaw and Hardaway sometimes, you know, you're going to be in the spotlight here in Columbus, right? And so, Madris, coming from a very quiet perspective and slowly working your way up by educating yourself and by doing different initiatives in the around the school, you know, what has this journey been like for you?
It's been an incredible journey. We didn't mention that actually me and Coach Coffey used to work together at Carver High School. So that's where that bond was first, you know.
That was under Chris Lindsay.
Under Chris Lindsay.
Well, Lindsay doing some great things over there. Mr. Lindsay. Yeah. Coach Lindsay. Principal Lindsay. Yeah, he's doing some great things. A great guy.
And actually, Chris Lindsay actually coached me when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the relationship started off.
Coached in football?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coached me in football. So I loved it, man. So I got to Aaron Cone and head football and head track over there. and just did a lot of stuff around the school.
Now, when you were matriculating through the Muskogee County School District, did it ever dawn on you that you would one day be in administration in the school district? Was that your ultimate goal when you first went to college?
No, when I first went, I just wanted to be a coach. I didn't want nothing about admin. I said, no, I'm just going to be a coach. That's it. You know, blow the whistle. And then after I got in, you know, and seeing what administrators do and the impact they can have on the whole entire school and teachers, mm-hmm. that's what sort of made me change my mindset. I mean, mm-hmm. a coach is great, but you're only going to have that, you know, 70 to 100 you have on that team at the high school level and maybe 40 to 50 at the middle school level. But as an administrator, you're impacting the whole entire school and community.
So I will imagine that there are some things that you saw while you matriculating and some issues or problems that you may see in the greater community that may not even be school related, that with this additional support behind you as an assistant principal, you'll be able to provide some aid to the community and That's some right. assistance and particularly some guidance for some young folks. You know, you ready for that task?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Can't wait.
Can't wait. All right. Well, I will say, gentlemen, I was there at the school board meeting when both of you were confirmed, and it was truly a joyous day. You two and quite a few other people. I think Zara Williams, she was confirmed too, and she's an Albany State
That's
University
right. another
graduate.
Golden Ram.
Another Golden Ram. I think y'all numbered us. And so we had another Golden Ram. Congratulations to Zara Williams if you're listening to the show, you and your family members. But one thing that really stood out to me, of course, you know, I attend Greater Bellwood and Madrisa does too, and it was just so full of people from the church there to support you.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
What message do you have for your supporters that have been there for you and been the people behind the scene, pat you on the back, telling you to stay strong and stay focused and don't make any rational decisions like taking a job in another area? You know, just wait and see what God has for you.
To all my supporters, I just really want to thank them from the bottom of my heart. I mean, for them to take time out of their busy day. I mean, the board meeting, I didn't get appointed to 2 hours going in the board meeting. So I just really appreciate them taking that time away, because they could have been anywhere else or done anything else, but they chose to be at the board meeting with me. Especially my church family, Greater Bellwood Baptist Church, they showed up and showed out in numbers. When they called my name and all my supporters, half the room was pretty much Greater Bellwood. So I'm just very, very appreciative of my church family, as well as my regular family, my wife, Ebony, daughter Madison, and mother Cheryl, and Uncle Greg, and things of that nature. So I'm just appreciative of the support.
Okay, and what about you, Coach Coffey? You had a lot of support there as well. You know, how is your family? And you probably want to thank them,
right?
I don't want you to get in trouble. You know,
I know that's right.
But once you thank them, I want to hear about how they've supported you.
Right. Well, first, you know, I want to thank my wife Sawanda and my daughter Nave and my son Chance. They've always supported me in whatever endeavors that I've tried to achieve, you know, through my life. Spencer Greenway family, they showed up and they was there even though I was departing and stepping down as the head coach. They still was there to support me, because, you know, just that, I guess, that genuine mutual respect for one another. Also, you know, just other people that I worked with in the past from Carver High School, and some of the other people that I was academic coach with. So I just want to thank them for the support, and you know, we're ready to move on and go and give back to our community now.
Well, that is so great, and you know, and I have to give kudos to our Board of Education, our chairwoman of the Board of Education, Kia Chambers, and all of our members of the Board of Education, and Dr. Lewis.
That's right.
Yeah. And the district chiefs,
mm-hmm.
That played a big role in this too. I don't think you can go wrong when you promote from within.
Absolutely.
I don't think you can go wrong when you identify a need in your community and you address that need internally. Especially when the people have the credentials.
Absolutely.
And especially when they're qualified, and especially when they're tried and they're tested. You know, managing a high school football team, mm-hmm. as the head coach,
mm-hmm.
brother, you're ready for any classroom. You're ready for any classroom.
Right.
You know, and you're ready for any school.
Right, right, right.
You know, and so I just certainly, before I go to break, I did not want to miss this opportunity. to just express my appreciation for the internal searches and identifying people that have spent time with our students, that know our students intimately, know their needs, know where they lack, know their challenges, know what tools they need to be successful, and can provide those tools for them.
Absolutely.
And so thank you again. Thank you, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, talking with Coach Pierre Coffey. Right now, Assistant Principal Coffey, starting in August. And also Mr. Madrice McNeil, Coach McNeil, former Albany State University football player, Albany State graduate, and soon to be Assistant Principal McNeil in August. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and we'll be right back.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We're here in the studio today with Coach Coffey, Pierre Coffey, the former head football coach at Spencer High School, just freshly appointed, I mean still wet behind the ears appointed, to assistant principal by our Muskogee County School District and our Muskogee County Board of Education and Superintendent David Lewis. And we also have with us as well Mr. Madrice McNeil, Coach McNeil from Aaron Cole Middle School, who's also a coach out there, coach to middle school team, and he was also appointed to assistant principal. And I'm just excited today to have in the studio with me, and I'm not going to be apologetic, I'm just going to say it, I'm excited to have two young black men that are well educated and on their way to success within academia, that I know personally, because I know both of them, they both have a passion for our young children, for their education, for them succeeding in the classroom, for us interrupting this school-to-prison pipeline, and for us reaching out to those children that needs to be touched the most, that needs that mentor that they can look at and say, hey, you look like me, you sound like me, I see you in my neighborhood, I see you in my stores, I see you at my church, I can relate to you, I can talk to you, let me let you know where my issues are so that we can work this out. I'm extremely excited that our school board and our superintendent had the foresight to make the selections that they made for assistant principals, and there were quite a few, but I only have two here today. And again, I got to give a special shout out to my Albany State University fellow Golden Ram, Ms. Zara Williams, who was also appointed to assistant principal here at Muskogee County School District. And congratulations to everyone that received an appointment. They all work hard for it. They got the credentials in line. They did the time in the classroom. They did the extracurricular work. They work with children after school. You know, they did extra work within the class system itself. And these, they really stood out. And I was truly impressed with the bios as Chairwoman Kia Chambers read them at the school board meeting last week. I was truly impressed with everyone's bios. So let's get back into this conversation here, gentlemen. I want to talk real quick about the, not necessarily the state of education, but the state of our young youth here in Columbus, in the state of Georgia, around this nation. And I know we're focusing on a local show, so, you know, we can keep the aspects of it local, but I just wanted to iterate that this is a nationwide problem. It's not just one here in Columbus. We are still seeing a high rate number of students being suspended. we're still seeing the prisons to the school to prison pipeline, and which when people use that term school to prison pipeline, I don't want anybody to think it's anything negative toward the school, toward the school system. It's more of an identifier of what appears to be happening with a lot of our children who get caught up in the juvenile system and ultimately get a record and then find themselves as adults in jail or stigmatized because of the records that they have received. And you know, this is a soft spot for me because I worked in this area almost 5 years with Georgia Appleseed Center for Law and Justice, you know, working around the state trying to disrupt this school to prison pipeline, bringing grants to different areas. Like, we helped bring grants here to Muskogee County to implement PBIS throughout Muskogee County. I helped implement PBIS in Bibb County. They are 100% implemented now. Every school in Bibb County is practicing PBIS. And I just learned from a presentation that I attended this week that they saw over 40% drop in discipline referrals as well as students that were suspended for the last school term. Over 40% drop. That is phenomenal. Right. And I know we're on the way to fully implementing PBIS here in Muskogee County, and I hope we're on track to making sure that every school here has PBIS. But I want to hear your perspective, not necessarily from what you saw in school and not identifying any children, but we have some challenges here with some of our young people. Coach Crawford, how do we reconnect with our young folks and get them back on the track of understanding that education is important and it starts early? It starts at the grade level. You can't drop out of high school and expect that you're going to, you know, do some phenomenal thing or get struck by lightning and end up a billionaire. Absolutely. You know, it's very hard to do.
Absolutely. I think one thing is we have to do a better job in our communities as male role models. And to me, it doesn't necessarily depend on a color or ethnicity. It's being a positive role model to our youth. I think that's where a lot of our kids are kind of falling behind. They're growing up with the lack of guidance. And so once they become students and they're in the school system, the negligence of not being raised or not being taught right from wrong at an early age, I mean, they're coming into the school system, and inside of the school, I hadn't had guidance at home, so now I'm expected to be guided and obey by rules and regulations inside of a school. And I read a post one time, and it said, you expect the kid to obey to a normal classroom environment, and that's normal to, you know, the common people that goes to school. But for somebody who are raising themselves and somebody who's out in the community and they don't have any guidance, that's not normal to them.
That's not normal.
That's not normal at all.
And it highlights that every student is different. I remember when I first arrived here, and I don't want to identify the school or where I was, but a parent came because she got a note that said that her daughter was sleeping in class.
Mm-hmm.
And she also was able to share with the administration that she had been in jail for 3 weeks. She was unable to find the bond money to get out of jail. So this daughter that was sleeping in class, who happened to be in the 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
was taking care of her brother who was in the 1st grade,
mm-hmm.
and her sister that's in the 3rd grade.
Mm-hmm.
So she was being a parent. She was cooking the meals.
Yep.
They didn't miss not one day of school while mm-hmm. this parent was locked up. But mm-hmm. if you didn't talk to that child, you would send a note home and say, you know, she's sleeping in class. But do you
Absolutely.
Know why she's sleeping in class?
Absolutely.
She's pulled double duty.
Absolutely.
She's been more of a parent than some of the parents out here who call themselves parents.
Absolutely.
And we have to understand that with our children. And you know, and that comes with understanding culture.
Right.
You know, and there are some people that would say, you know, if you take a person that receives their education at UGA and they're raised in an mm-hmm. affluent neighborhood and you put them in an inner city school with low yep. income type individuals,
that's not normal to them.
That's going to be a cultural difference.
Absolutely.
That may be a problem. And school is not going to teach you that.
That becomes an abnormality for them. I agree.
And Coach Manil, you know, as we think about those challenges that Coach Coffey just put on the table there, you know, what can we start to do? I mean, he said some things that we can do, and I absolutely agree with him. And it's about the community getting involved. But what else? Do you think there's some other things we can do from that perspective?
Yeah, there's several things. I mean, starting off with the community is one thing, churches and everything in the community. But the thing is, the school has to let them know and give them opportunity to come in. So there has to be a communication between the community and the school. So it's a two-way street of, hey, we're allowing y'all to come in. What can you provide? What can you do to help us? Mm-hmm. Or things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Recreation centers. Most of the time when kids get in trouble, it's between right after school, but when parents are not at home. So just getting with rec centers, churches, and just different people in the community to find out where can they fit in at your particular school.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because I saw some people chastising a current political candidate because he's running for something on the city government side, but he just had the audacity to bring up information about our children and their education. And I think part of the challenge here is that we have political leaders that have put themselves in silos. And what I was very excited to hear from Councilman Bruce Huff was that Chairwoman Kia Chambers had reached out to them and said, how can the school board and city council work together, particularly on things like helping our youth? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's very important, because the school only, you guys are only going to have the children for about 8 hours.
Right.
Then what happened after that?
Right.
The sun is still up. I mean, some of these schools let out so early that parents are still at work.
Right.
You know, where's the supervision? Where's the community involvement? Where's the community engagement? And as civic leaders on the city side, we have to think about that too.
Absolutely.
And as spiritual leaders in our churches, we have to think about that too. And
absolutely,
we have to be engaged in it. And as community leaders and stakeholders in our community, in our communities, we have to be engaged from that perspective. I absolutely agree with you, Coach Benil, from that perspective. Coach Coffey, how do you think we got to the point to where we are now? You know, particularly with the murders we've seen by our young people, the unfortunate events like what happened in Utah.
Right.
You know, those are young folks.
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. I think, one, the lack of the male presence in the home.
Mm-hmm.
I think the emergence of social media, and social media has such a strong prevalence in our society. And of course, I mean, you got other factors like alcohol and drugs and all that type of stuff. But the bottom line is the lack of the male role model.
Right. And also, a fifth grader smoking weed.
Yeah. And our society is so drawn to social media. And social media, it's just like TV. You can't believe everything you see behind on a computer screen or on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are driving factors with our youth.
Wow. What about you, Coach Mel?
I agree exactly with what he said. But the thing is with that, it comes down to with parents too.
Yep.
You know, parents have to be on board with it.
Yep.
You can't be friends with your kids.
Yep. Absolutely.
A lot of that was going on. I know we're having kids younger and younger. Mm-hmm. These days, and we're getting out of the, I guess they call the old parenting old school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, old school worked for us, but all of a sudden don't work now. You know, things of that nature.
Right.
Now,
right.
Instead of putting
right.
hands or not necessarily putting hands, but getting whippings, you know, they want to get away from that.
Right.
So I think a lot of it has to do with parents and, like you said, role models and the male not being around. Because
mm-hmm.
if daddy not there and uncle not stepping up or granddad not stepping up, you know, what male model do you have to show you how to be a man and do things the right way? Or
exactly.
Who do you fear?
Right.
Who do you fear?
Who
right.
do you fear?
Who do you
right.
fear? You know, and you know, I saw a quote one time that said, if a child doesn't feel the love from the community, they'll burn it down to feel the warmth.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we're at the point now where a lot of our young people are close to doing things that we don't want them to do,
mm-hmm.
and get involved in ways we don't want them to get involved. And that's partially problematic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about the challenges, and we've talked about our kids and what we can do to potentially try to work with them, and we focus more on them. But what can we do as individuals? What can you do as Coach Coffee? What can you do as Coach McNeil?
I think one thing, you kind of hit the nail on the head before we went to break. I think promoting within, I'm going to tell you the reason why, and it's not, you know, because of us, but it's when you promote within, we all share the same vision because we're part of the community. Our kids go to school here. We work in the school district. Our friends, kids go to school here. So we have a common interest and a common vested interest and vision in the well-being and the betterment of our community. And then, you know, just being guys that have coached a lot of kids, you know, it's always extremely, extremely sad to see guys that we, you know, have coached and invested time in to see them going down the wrong path. So, you know, as a man and as a role model, my whole purpose and my goal is to ensure that I'm doing my due diligence to help kids and to help kids better themselves.
Right. Now, I know you see. I know I'm coming to you, Coach McNeil, so don't lose that thought. But Coach Coffee, I'm sure coaching at the high school level, you saw around a lot of kids smelling themselves.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and on the transition to adulthood.
Absolutely.
You know, and so you've seen some of our young folks at the most difficult time to really influence them,
right,
and work with them,
right.
But yet part of coaching is being able to pull them together, get them to work collectively, and get them to work with each other,
right.
You know, some people would conclude that we've reached that level with some of our kids in our society today,
right.
You know, is there any techniques that you employed as a coach that you think could potentially work in the community to reach those particular youth?
I think, of course, you know, just having a strong presence. The guys that I tried to hire on my staff, all those guys, I knew they were good role models. They had a strong presence in the community. They were guys that kids could relate to. And then structure, providing structure for kids. You know what I mean? If a kid has nothing to do, I mean, then you get into mischief. So providing structure, if that's like, you know, Coach McNeil said, with the after-school programs. One thing I was sitting here thinking about is not only do kids get in trouble in the afternoon, kids get in trouble during the summer months.
Right.
So when we get out of school for the summertime, I remember when I was a kid growing up, it was vacation Bible school, you know. And so it has to be initiatives and different things put in place during the summer months that our kids can, you know, utilize to strengthen their minds and make sure that they're not in the mischief.
Absolutely. You know, and there was something else I've heard used quite often by many professionals that look at youth and incarceration rates and challenged and troubled youth, and that is you can almost tell at the third grade the impact that a potential child may have in the future. And there are some people even say that they build prisons based upon the number of students that are troubled in the third grade.
Wow.
Both of you guys are going to the elementary level.
Well, I'll be at a middle school.
You'll be in the middle school. So Coach McNeil, you'll be at the elementary level.
That's right.
And you will be working with children in the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade. You know, have you thought about that type situation? Have you thought about how critical that age group is, and is there certain things you would want to see at your school? Of course, you're the AP, so you're going to have to be working with the principal and her leadership, but is there anything particularly you want to see for those kids within that age group?
Reading, and more reading. In our culture, we don't do a lot of reading. We don't like reading for, you know, whatever the case may be, but mainly just reading. A lot of times with our kids, we don't know but so many words.
Yeah.
And I went to a training actually yesterday, and it was saying that the amount of words your kids know by the time they're three will depict their future on how much they will be able to obtain. Because you got to think, if they're three, or when they get into kindergarten, they only know 800 words versus a kid that know 3,000 words, they don't know what's going on. They don't understand. So while the other person is moving ahead, the other person is still at the starting line.
Right.
So we have to just do a better job of reading. And even if the parents are not the best at reading, just tell your kids a story. Just any type of reading would be good. So reaching out to the community, reaching out to church, churches or things of that nature that's in your community, just come and read, or, you know, or library, give books, get a library card.
Right.
The thing about, there's actually a lot of resources, but a lot of us, we just don't know about it. Or there's so many resources, but we're just not on the same page because everybody doing their own thing, but everybody's not coming together to benefit whole community.
I got you. You know, and it goes back to a philosophy I've always had in life. You know, why I gotta be peanut butter or jelly? Why I can't be peanut butter and jelly?
Right.
You know, and even with reading, when it comes to technology, you know, we know children these days love technology, even babies. I mean, Catherine runs to my phone, Madison runs to your phone. You know, and there are apps and programs that can enforce reading but use technology.
That's right.
And those are the types of things we got to do to make sure that we pull our youth in. Well, fellas, I tell you, it's been a great conversation. I want to give both of you a final word. You know, whatever you want to say, whether it's in regards to our youth or in regards to your upcoming year, whatever message you want to leave us with. We'll start with you, Coach Coffin.
Okay. The first thing is, just once again, I'm so thankful for all the people that supported me, from my family to the Spencer Greenway family and so forth. To our young kids, one thing that I was thinking about and one thing I've always believed in is that being mannerable, being a yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, being able to be articulate and speak your mind and look people in their eyes and be able to hold a conversation, those things go, you know, they'll take you a long way in life. And I just think that, you know, just being mannerable, being able to speak well, and being able to present yourself and your ideas, it'll take you a long way in life.
All right, and Coach Manil, same thing to you, and I just want to put this in real quick. You know, Coach Coffey, what you just said reminds me of, you know, a phrase that's often used, it takes a village to raise a child, and I know that Hillary Clinton put that on the book, but we knew that in the black community before she even put pen to paper.
That's right.
You know, it's always taking a community in our village, and it still is going to take a community, and we got to get back to that community. Coach Manil, your final words.
Just want to thank everybody. Thank all my supporters. Thank my wife and family, church family, Greater Bellwood. And this is just my cry to the community, to all aspects, whether it's the library system, the school district, community leaders, parents, the whole community. Let's just get together and get this thing right. You know, it's not about who gets the glory or who gets their name on this or name on that. Let's just do what's right. And at the end of the day, we got to keep God in this thing.
Yep.
Well, all right. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you again for being here today. It's been truly an honor to work with you and interview with both of you here on the air today. I wish you much success in your new position and your transition. And I know that Muskogee County School District is certainly in great hands with the leadership that I saw promoted the other day. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and look forward to talking with you again next Sunday.
Views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.